Well, tonight on Coast to Coast, an incredible program with L.A. Marzulli, the alien interviews, conversations with people who experience UFO contacts. You know, as I just mentioned earlier, the New Zealand military has released hundreds of previously classified reports detailing claims of unidentified flying object sightings and alien encounters. Something's going on. In a moment, L.A. Marzulli joins us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and he is a Coast to Coast regular, L.A. Marzulli, the best-selling author of the Nephilim Trilogy, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And tonight we're talking about his latest work, The Alien Interviews, and here he is back on Coast to Coast AM. Lynn, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me here, George. Merry Christmas to you.
You too, my friend. By the way, I was perusing the internet a few weeks ago, doing some more UFO research. Your name pops up all over the place.
Oh, Laura, I guess that's a good thing. You know, I was online here looking at this UFO revealing from New Zealand. I mean, that could be huge.
Oh, I know it. It is truly incredible. And the key of that entire article was alien encounters. What could it be?
Well, there's one line. Listen to this. Some of the accounts include drawings of flying saucers, descriptions of aliens, this about fell out of a chair, wearing pharaoh masks. Aliens wearing pharaoh masks and alleged examples of extraterrestrial writing. I mean, it's, you know, my friend Richard Shaw and I worked on this DVD together, Watchers, but one of the things we talk about constantly is that the so-called revealing is happening, the so-called disclosure is happening almost daily. There's sightings that come in, there's reports, newscasts, this little thing tonight with, you know, the New Zealand, country New Zealand maybe releasing UFO documents to WikiLeaks. I mean, it's like the thing is accelerating. Yes. And I think disclosure is sort of happening all around us to the point where, you know, everybody kind of goes, okay, we know they're here. What's for dinner, honey? I mean, it seems like that's where we're headed.
Lynn, tell me, you know, I've got your Watchers DVD. It came to me in St. Louis. And you, again, another incredible job by you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
And that's tied into everything we're talking about tonight.
Absolutely.
Give us an overview of that work.
Well, basically, we, you know, watching all these UFO movies, on, especially on the History Channel and just other channels, and realizing that a lot of it, you know, it's being a researcher and writing all these books and having all this information. And I've been on the History Channel, Ancient Aliens, and some other shows, but you're always at the mercy of the editing, you know, the editor, and what happens with the editor, most of the stuff winds up on the floor. And sometimes it's skewed, or what you're saying, you know, is completely taken out of context. And the reason why we made the Watchers DVD was to get our sort of worldview in, but the title of the DVD is UFOs Are Real, Burgeoning, and Not Going Away, and I think we've demonstrated that. All we're trying to do with the first one, it is episodic, there's others in the works, but all we're trying to do is to wake up everybody, the populace, and say, look, guys, something is going on. These things fly around with impunity over the global airspace. And we don't know really what they are. The governments are pretty much, you know, most of them anyway, it's sub rosa. Now we have New Zealand hopefully releasing some things. Granted, the UK, Mexico, Belgium, and Mexico and Japan have released documents of classified files talking about UFOs. But for the most part, and he asked the guy on the street, you know, it's swamp gas, weather balloons, it's a flock of geese, whatever, right? And yeah. So what we focused on were two aspects of the phenomenon, the cannulations and the implants. And we did that because it's hardcore physical evidence. You can't, something's going on there. Again, the cattle are taken. With complete impunity, the rancher comes out, and, you know, your listeners know about this stuff, but many people don't. And, you know, the guy, it's satanic cults, it's the coyotes, whatever. It's always the skeptic, but a modicum of research will show that something else is going on, and it's alarming. And then from there, we just swing a little bit into the human mutilation aspect of it, because that's part of the phenomena, too. And, of course, Dr. Roger Lear comes on for about 20 minutes at the end, and we really get into some just eye-opening discovery when he starts talking about the implants and what these things are and what they aren't, and the fact that they give out radio waves, and the radio waves seem to be emitted from deep space, and it's just here it is. It's off-world metal embedded in a person. It's on X-rays, and we have it. So it's physical, tangible evidence. And he looks at that thing under an electron microscope, and it's got nanotechnology in it. So, the Watchers DVD has all this and more in it. And really, what it's for, it's really for the skeptic. And what we've found is people like buy one, and they'll sit down with the family or invite a couple of friends over. People watch this thing, and what it does, instantly at the end of the movie, everybody starts talking. Lots of dialogue, and that's exactly what we want, is to get people to talk about the phenomena. What is going on here? And it's not going away. I mean, if we had one cattle mutilation like every 10 years, or somebody saw a UFO like in the 50s, like one sighting in December, now, according to my stats, we're getting one sighting reported every 10 minutes on the globe. That's crazy. We've turned a corner.
We have. Why do you call it the Watchers?
Well, we call it the Watchers. It's sort of a play on word. I consider myself a watchman. In other words, I do this full time. I'm constantly perusing different websites, looking at information, interviewing people. I mean, this is what I do pretty much 24/7. But there's also a sect of angels that were called the Watchers, written down in ancient manuscripts. And so it's sort of a play on words. And again, it's episodic. We don't even touch what we think the phenomena is, who's behind it. We don't, discuss really any of that. All we're doing is showing different clips. One of my favorite clips is, Prophet Yahweh, when he summons an orb. I don't think it's a disc. I think it's an orb. We make a distinction there. But, Prophet Yahweh's down in Las Vegas, and the TV crew's there, and the whole thing's on film. We've got that film. Most people don't know about it. But, I mean, the guy looks like a complete, with all due respect, nutcase, because he's out there, oh, Yahweh, with his hands raised, and all of a sudden, bam, this thing materializes, and the camera crew is just unnerved. You can see it. So it's, it's just amazing what's going on.
We've had him on the program before, and that was a very bizarre episode, no doubt. Now, some people say he radioed somehow his buddy who let a balloon go. Who knows? The bottom line is, Len, it was strange stuff. And the bigger bottom line is there are a lot of strange things going on this planet right now, like New Zealand, like these other countries, and people just don't know what's happening, do they?
Well, again, I believe that the phenomenon is accelerating. I think with sightings every 10 minutes and the ongoing cattle mutilation, the crop circles are growing more complex. We hear, and I know you had Dr. Javer Jacobs on, and fairly recently, and I know Dr. Lear was on the show also, but both of these, the phenomena with Dr. Lear, with the so-called breeding program. Look, we've had contact, alleged contact, with people that claim to have seen hybrids. I mean, I get a story maybe once a month from somebody claiming to have some kind of contact with what they believe is a hybrid. It's bizarre stuff. We posted a link. It's called Madness in the Fast Lane. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but it's on YouTube, so you can watch it. I think it's like four parts. Each part's about 12 minutes long, whatever. It's a BBC documentary, and in it are these two twins. They're identical twins, and it's the most bizarre video I have ever seen, because what we're looking at, in my opinion, one of two things. We're looking at hybrids, which are manifesting in broad daylight and caught on film, or we're looking at what Russ Dizdar would call satanically charged super soldiers from satanic ritual abuse, which opens up a whole can of worms. But the bottom line is this. These two women are walking on a medium strip in the U.K. It's an eight-lane highway, four lanes on each side, medium strips about 10 feet across, guardrails on each side. So they're walking on this little path, about 10 feet wide, the twins, shoulder to shoulder, down the medium strip. Well, everything in the U.K. is on camera. They've got surveillance everywhere. So their version of the highway patrol is dispatched to where these twins are. As the highway patrol, tries to stop traffic and pulls over, lights flashing, the whole deal, the twins, without any prompting at all, one leaps over the guardrail and goes headlong into traffic. She's slammed by a car. And the other one, the same thing, runs out into traffic, slammed by a car. Now both women are down on the ground. The cops are calling for, you know, ambulance. The ambulance arrived. About 2 minutes into this thing, you see the twins. They've been hit by cars doing 50, 60 miles an hour, okay? You see them stand up and start fighting the policemen. I mean, it's bizarre.
Jeez.
Yeah, and then the police get them. And this is all real. It's like a BBC documentary. The police get them, bring them to the side of the road. It's called Madness in the Fast Lane. Bring them to the side of the road, okay? And they're standing there for a minute. There's all the ambulance are around, and you know, all the police and everything else, and traffic is going by. One of the twins breaks out of her raincoat and runs headlong into an 18-wheeler. Is run over by the 18-wheeler. Is now laying on the ground with a compound fracture. As the police go over to help her, I mean, anybody else would be out. She's clawing and spitting at the policeman, right?
Anybody else would be dead.
Exactly. The other twin runs out. She's T-boned by a car, flown over the hood. Her head slams into the window. They show you a close-up of the glass, the impression. She's laying on the asphalt. Paramedics are over there. They've got her covered with like one of those thermal blanket type thing, and they're trying to reassure it's okay. And the whole deal, medics are there. Everybody's running around. It's complete chaos, right? A minute later, she stands up and starts fighting the police. It takes six people to restrain her, and they literally, six people, two on each leg, one person on each arm, and she breaks free from the grip, and they take her and get her to the side of the road where finally they give her a sedative and she's out. There's no drugs. They take her to the police station, the hospital, no drugs, no alcohol in the blood. So what are we looking at? Madness in the Fast Lane, for your viewers to go check it out. It's on YouTube. It'll blow your mind. We are looking at demonically charged super soldiers, MK Ultra stuff, the stuff that, you know, Russ Dizdar and others of his ilk talk about, or we're looking at some sort of a hybrid that's, again, superhumanly charged. At the end, she jumps off. At the very end of the film, she jumps off of one of the twins, the one without the broken leg, jumps off a 40-foot bridge. Bridge is 40-foot span in the air. She just, without thinking, without any hesitation, jumps off this thing like it's nothing.
That's amazing. Lynn, we've got many new listeners. As a matter of fact, we're at an all-time high with stations and listenership. Some people saying, brand new, okay, who's Dr. L.A. Marzulli? Tell us a little bit more about you.
Well, I'd be glad to. Thank you. I'm the author of five books and our new DVD, Watchers DVD, which we're really proud of. But the three books are the first three books in the cache, so to speak, is the Nephilim Trilogy. It's a fictional work based on years of research, about 1,200 pages of UFO related. It's sort of like the X-Files, but it gets into stuff the X-Files doesn't get into. The research that went into those three books then became Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, which is a nonfiction work, which is actually going into its second printing as we speak. The third book is called The Alien Interviews, and that book was written basically for the skeptic. It has 17 people who have actually experienced the UFO phenomena up close and personal. And what's really interesting about that particular tome is that we've got people with letters after the name, another PhD is Dr. David Jacobs, Dr. Roger Lear, Dr. Jesse Marcel, Dr. Lynn Katai, retired Major George Filer, and Dr. Wanger. I mean, and these people, you know, their credentials are essentially impeccable. And these people come in, weigh in on a sit-down one-on-one. I write the questions. They wrote the answers back. So there's nothing taken out of context or editorialized in any way. It's verbatim. And, you know, what they write is what they saw and they had encounters. And that's so the book really is to, again, for the skeptic, for someone who's just getting into this, not sure what all this stuff is about. And after reading it, I mean, you get to the point where, okay, something is going on. What is it? And from that came the Watchers DVD. Again, like we talked about earlier, the idea that we want to control the information. We wanted to make a DVD that showed all aspects of a phenomena, sort of like a real staccato, hard-hitting expose. And my friend and co-producer, Richard Shaw, did a wonderful job in getting it all and editing it all and making it, you know, very staccato-like, very hard-hitting. But we really, With the Watchers DVD, we touch on so many aspects of the phenomena, lots and lots of shots in this. And, you know, yours truly, I'm sort of the announcer through the whole thing. But there's just so much information in that. And we've had nothing but great reviews from people who have seen it. So we're really proud of it and look forward to working on number two.
I've gotten more response to my appearances on Ancient Aliens. How about you?
Well, unlike you, I'm really edited out, which is another reason why we made Watchers. But, you know, I'm on there for, I don't know, maybe 20 seconds at a time. And it's I wish they'd have me on a little bit longer because I do give an alternative viewpoint from where they're going, which is, you know, I mean, it's Prometheus Entertainment, and they have an agenda, and they're promulgating their particular worldview, and that's fine. That's what they're entitled to do. But that's what we're trying to do with Watchers, and when we finally get down to that, and we'll have an episode, maybe two episodes, that will. What we want to do is go from one side of the aisle and then go to the other side of the aisle. In other words, get some sort of dialogue, show that this is not the only, the ancient astronaut theory is not the only theory that's viable here. And that's what we're going to try to do with that eventually.
What do you think about disclosure, Lynn? I have said all along it's not coming from official sources. It'll come from whistleblowers. Yet then we see countries like New Zealand and Britain and Brazil starting to push information out. I can't figure it out. Can you?
Well, what's interesting is they know they're sitting on something, and they know they can't, the shadow government, they can't keep it hidden forever. It's like, what was it, several months ago, there was a, we actually talk about this in the DVD, there was an article in one of the UK papers, you know, Churchill and Eisenhower got together and put the kibosh on UFOs, the existence of UFOs, because they were afraid it would cause mass panic in the population. Okay,
right.
That's great.
And wipe out religion.
Bingo. So it's like 70 years ago, right? And there's no way to vet any of the information. Churchill and Eisenhower are long since dead. Most of the people involved are, you know, in their late 80s, early 90s or whatever, or deceased. So there's no way to vet the story. But, you know, we get little trinkets like this. I think what's going to happen, this is the scenario that's in Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And this, of course, gets into the whole prophetic thing, which I, you know, maybe we'll talk about a little bit later. But what's interesting is the Middle East is a hotbed. We all know that. That thing's ready to blow. And I think if it's not there, it's North Korea. There'll be some sort of a nuclear exchange, unfortunately, someplace on this planet. Now, hear me out here. If you were going to try to do some sort of a cosmic deception, which it may be or it may not be, but just travel with me for a second. If there's a nuclear device that goes off anywhere on this planet, it will create the greatest global collective fear humankind has ever experienced. What I mean by that is when the Chilean miners were rescued, right, a short while back, the world watched. We're all linked up. We all watched this in real time together.
And you know, it was emotionally dramatic, wasn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So can you imagine, God forbid, some sort of a nuclear event anywhere on this planet? Everyone's watching this thing, and everyone's got the same thought. Oh, my gosh, are we going to blow ourselves to smithereens? What better time for the so-called extraterrestrial presence to come as our saviors and go, hey, and this, of course, what the Ancient Aliens show is promulgating, and that's fine. They're entitled to their opinion. It's a free country, and exchange of ideas is always good. But if they're not benevolent, and what bothers me is the human mutilation aspect of the whole phenomena, and the cattle mutilation stuff is pretty grisly, and the forced abductions and the sexual experimentation, it doesn't sound like a group of nice guys I want to, you know, go on a camping trip with, no pun intended. But it's like, you know, if that would be the perfect time to spring some sort of a deception. You're waiting for this event. It happens. And then they come as our saviors, and they will say this, that they created all life on this planet. They genetically manipulated man. They are literally the missing link. They started the world's religions. Now they're back at this tenuous time in history to usher us into a time of global peace and prosperity and knowledge. And that's what, you know, the ancient alien theory, the ancient astronaut theory, that's where they're going. I'm not down with that yet.
Well, I want to get your theory when we come back, okay, Lynn, and then later on in the program, we're going to be talking about his thoughts on the Star of Bethlehem. Why, you might ask? Wait, you'll find out. Happy holidays to all of you. We're with Lynn Marzulli tonight as we're talking about his work, Watchers, and also the alien interviews. And we'll be right back with more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Lynn, let's talk a little bit about the ancient astronaut theory and your position. You were mentioning it briefly. What is the ancient astronaut theory out there?
Well, the ancient astronaut theory basically is what the ancient aliens which is a great series. I mean, they really do their homework, except I just have a different interpretation of much of the same data that they show. In other words, they're saying that we were visited here maybe thousands of years ago by a race of extraterrestrials. And they cite the Sumerian tablets and, you know, Gilgamesh and all that, and it's the Anunnaki, and a race of alien beings came down, and according to, depending on which, who you talk to, basically, but they genetically manipulated early man and was the cause behind all of these bizarre megalithic structures. For instance, the temple in Baalbek, perhaps the pyramid, Machu Picchu. I mean, just go around the globe and look at some of these huge megalithic structures, Gilgal, Raphaim in Israel, Stonehenge, and different stone circles in different parts of the world. There is another alternative explanation to that, and that is that it's not extraterrestrial, it's interdimensional. Jacques Vallée holds that position. That's the position that I'm coming from. All my research points that these are, in fact, what I would call, and when I say this, let me...
And are they physical? When you're, even though they're dimensional, are they physical?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll give you some examples. When angels, which is evangelos, which means messenger, appear. Let's just go back into some of the ancient texts, and we read that these three angels appear to this guy, Abraham. And, you know, he sits down, and they eat a meal together. And two guys go off, and they do something in what we know as Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, the other so-called angel sits down and has this long conversation with Abraham. They're eating food. I mean, they're physical. And I believe they look much as men, but and yet Abraham knew something was up. So they can appear that way if they wish. These are incredibly powerful beings. Incredible. You know, people have this idea of, you know, angels with the wings, and Hollywood does the whole thing. These are, I mean, most people who have an actual encounter with these beings usually do a face plant, and I'm not making that up. It actually says, and he fell on his face. That's called in the modern vernacular a face plant. That's what happens when a person encounters one of these beings. They're just incredibly powerful. Well, here's the scenario.
All right.
What if there's a war in the heavenlies, as just as we were told? There's some weird cosmic struggle, which we're not sure of why it happened, but it happened. And let's say a third of the host of the good angels rebel and decide to go with the anointed cherub, the fallen one. And there's this schism in the universe, this unbelievable schism between two different sides. And guess who's in the middle of this cosmic chess match? This is the title of the book I'm working on, which will come out in March, which literally discusses this cosmic chess match. In other words, it's move, counter move, move, counter move, move, counter move, all the way through the ancient text. That's what we see. So here's the bottom line. Let's just assume for a second that it's not ancient astronauts. Let's assume that it's the fallen angels, and we go back to Genesis 6, that's the trilogy that I've written, the Nephilim trilogy, talks about the fallen angels having sex with the women, and the byproduct of that union is the Nephilim. And these guys were huge. They could have been in the first incursion, and Steve Krell's been on your show many times, could have been as tall as 35 feet. That's huge. Well, Occam's razor tells us that the simplest answer to, you know, the answer that is most reasonable is usually the simplest one. And so you go to Baalbek and you see these huge megalithic stones. And when I lecture, I always have fun with that because most people have never seen some of these close-ups of just how big these stones are. And it's like you look at them and it's just the audience just, you look out and everybody's jaws on the ground because they're huge. Some of these stones are like 60 feet in length, by 14 feet by 16 feet, rough dimensions. They weigh, hundreds and hundreds of tons. It's absurd. How did they move them? Modern archaeologists have no clue. No clue at all. And I always go to Baalbek because it houses the three largest stones. Well, again, as Occam's razor, the simplest answer usually is the correct one. So we look at that, and can you imagine if you actually had a collection of 30-foot tall super guys running around? Okay, boys on three, let's lift up the rock. I mean, I know it sounds silly, but in all these ancient cultures, that's what we read. And that's what bugs me a little bit about the History Channel, because it is cross-cultural. They talk about the giants constantly, and yet they won't go there because it opens up another paradigm, and that's that paradigm they don't want to travel in. But I think My theory is I think that what we're looking at in many of these ancient megalithic structures and this sudden rise, this sudden explosion in technology is not extraterrestrial. It's actually fallen angel stuff, and it's nasty. It's the reason for the global flood, which I also believe happened.
Well, you know, Lynn, you're right on that. But let's talk a little bit about your thoughts and Valet's thoughts about these extra-dimensional beings. How do they get here? How do they cross over?
Wow, that's a great question, and it's a question that I'm constantly looking into and researching. Let's just assume, and this all I outline a lot of this in the book I'm working on, the Cosmic Chess Match. Let's assume for the fact that there's three heavens. We'll call them three heavens because that's just a term. But you could also say three different dimensions. And in those dimensions, there's different time-space properties. The time-space property we have here is 1 second, 2 second, 3 second, 4 second. We move through time and space in a very linear way. That's just how we experience life. So if we're in a cornfield, I'll use this as an analogy. It might be a bad one, but it does work. If we're in a cornfield, the corn 7 feet tall, our view of time is, you know, or our view of the cornfield is, guess what, the corn stalk right in front of us. That's it. Well, you pull up a nice big red fire truck and you run a ladder up that puppy and you climb to the top of the ladder, and guess what, you've got a different view of the cornfield. If you popped into the second heaven, your view of time and space may be different. How do we access between dimensions? We go back again into ancient texts and we see that, for instance, this one guy, Daniel. I've talked about this before, but it's always good to go back and kind of explore it again. This one guy, Daniel, offers up a request and says, hey, you know, and like 21 days later, this angel appears. And it's what it is, it's really it's a look. It's a case study. It's there for us to study and understand that this war is ongoing in the heavenlies. It's never stopped. It's never ceased. It is literally ongoing as we speak. That's why I think all this stuff is accelerating. But here's the deal. The angel appears to Daniel and goes, hey, Dan, I would have been here 21 days earlier. That's when they dispatched me. But I couldn't get here because I had to fight the Prince of Persia. And yeah, it was so bad that I had to turn around and get reinforcements. And Michael came with a bunch of other guys, and we fought, and here I am. So the first thing, it begs the question, well, if that's, why didn't you just do an end run? I mean, what do you mean it's 21 days? And it's disturbing. What are we looking at here? And, of course, I believe that there are gateways. There are portals which are guarded, which are opened, which are territories, which are, you know, seated, fought over, whatever. It's exactly what we see in that particular ancient text. And the angel finally gets through. And when he leaves, he goes, well, I got to go fight the Prince of Greece. But he's talking 200 years in the future by our time. 200 years in the future by our time. Again, time-space as we know it in the second heaven.
Way different.
It's a totally different deal. So they access through portals, and that gets into, you know, a whole.
Okay, but if they can come, Lynn, this way through portals, can we go that way through portals?
Well, this is what's interesting. Right now, and I'll give you one text which is really interesting. There is a place on the planet today which is called Mount Hermon. In the History Channel, Ancient Aliens, they did a. In fact, that was. It's actually attributed to David Flynn, and I gave him credit for that because that's his discovery. These so-called 200 angels, when they descended in the days of Noah, actually Jared, way thousands and thousands of years ago, okay, descended on Mount Hermon. Well, if we take the geographic polar opposite to that, we wind up in Roswell, New Mexico. Thank you, David Flynn. That's his discovery. Just mind-boggling, okay? Interestingly enough, there's from the ancient texts, there's this, you know, since it's Christmas, I'll tip my hand early. But, you know, Jesus is walking around with the disciples. And
don't tip it too early.
Okay,
that's next hour.
But what's interesting is when he's walking around down here, he never does anything casually or glibly. Everything is with great purpose and forethought. Well, he goes to Mount Hermon, okay? And he ascends that mountain with three of his disciples with him, right? And, you know, I'm sure these guys are going, what the heck are we doing climbing this silly mountain, right? All of a sudden, the scene shifts. Absolutely, the scene shifts. The portal, and I realize people out there are going, what is he talking about? But it's the scene shifts. And Jesus, we know it in religious terms as the transfiguration. But That's exactly what's going on here. All of a sudden, he literally is translated, and with him are Moses and Elijah. What the heck are we looking at here? Where do they come from? And how, you know, and then we hear this voice, and the people that are witnessing this thing, I mean, all this, he changes. His physical appearance changes. What he's doing, in my opinion, again, this is a new book that I'm working on, but what he's doing is he's going back to where all the problems started, which is Mount Hermon, thousands of years ago, when those 200 angels came through that portal. He's taking the territory back. That's what's so freaking deliberate about it. It's just mind-boggling. That's why he's there. He's taking the territory back. And then when he goes to the bottom of the mountain, and I had an archaeologist on my show by the name of Judd Barton, who's actually been to Mount Hermon, been to the Cave of Pan at the base of the mountain. And so when Yeshua comes off the mountain, Jesus comes off the mountain, he goes down to that mount, to the cave, where that cave, by the way, is still being used for idol sacrifice and all that stuff today, occult ceremonies, is still functioning. And he says to Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And he's pointing at the cave. I mean, it's so deliberate. And when we when we look at that, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is, it's cosmic. And so, again, in my opinion, we're looking at these two sides which have been warring literally for thousands of years, and now we're accelerating towards the climax of the war.
Lynn, let's go back for just a moment as we talk about this global phenomenon of what might be happening. And it's happening, it seems to me, in a bigger and bigger way all the time, isn't it?
I do. That's why we call Watchers DVD UFOs a real burgeoning, not going away. 1950, the year I was born, one sighting of a UFO reported, 1950. I'm now 60 years old. I just turned it on December 14th. But now, you know, go back a year ago in December, and it's like well over 350 sightings in the same period of time. So we can surely agree that UFOs are, you know, they're not, it can't all be swamp gas and a flock of birds and the Venus reflecting off a weather balloon being trailed by a flock of geese or something. It's nonsense. I mean, we've got good evidence. We've got hardcore evidence that something is going on. Over 350 that are reported in 1 month, and actually it's a lot more than that globally. They're seen everywhere. What about the Chinese flaps? We actually show some just quick footage of different shots of UFOs and sightings all, you know, all around the world, from Russia, from France, from the UK, from Mexico. I mean, the stuff in Mexico from Jaime Maussan is just unbelievable. You know, and some of these are just orbs, others are craft, the huge pyramidal craft, the mile wide stuff in Stevensville. We show a clip of this, the pilot in 2007, I forget the name, I think it's Boynton, flew over the English Channel, and he's in a plane, 14 people, and there's another plane, you know, about a mile away, and they both see this craft that's over, well over a mile wide, and then another one materializes, it's caught up on radar. I mean, this guy's got his reputation, he's not smoking anything, he's been flying for years, he's a credible witness, and the thing is, it's like you've got two different pilots, two different aircraft reporting the same thing, and it's being picked up on radar. So, again, the phenomena is real. We need to understand and cast off the shackles of ridicule, for crying out loud, and start looking at this thing and understanding it's the most important event in human history. So what is it, and who's behind it? Think if it's part of a deception. You know, Jacques Vallée wrote a book, Messages of Deception.
Yes.
So I'm not the first guy talking about this. I mean, Vallée predates me by at least two decades, for crying out loud. That book was published before I published anything.
But he believes the deception is still done through these dimensional beings, right?
Yes, I do too.
Yeah. What about Project Bluebeam? And that is that governments will create this false flag, this hologram of UFOs all over the place to make us beg them to save us and therefore create more control over us. Possible?
It certainly is. And when we look at the New World Order and where all that's going and the, you know, the financial instability of the global economy, I mean, it's just nuts where this thing is going. And we, you know, hear stories like, well, the FCC is going to start regulating the Internet. Well, how the heck are they going to do that? And it's, you know, now the TSA pat-down stuff, it's like, you know, come on, people, wake up. You know, that's sexual harassment. I mean, I digress a little bit, but it's all interconnected. Bluebeam certainly is a possibility. it certainly is one that, you know, we look at the Norway spiral, and everybody took credit for that, you know, from, I mean, every earth, it's ours, and we did it. It's, yeah. You know, the it's Maitreya coming back, it's whatever. You know, it's HAARP, it's this, you know, who knows what we're really looking at. There was a blue beam. It's, you know, it would cause a huge spiral. Did it open up some sort of a dimensional portal? I don't know. Was it just a holograph in the sky? I don't know. But blue beam certainly could be used. But here's the deal. I mean, we know, and, well, we don't know, but when you get someone like Ricky Soro, who I've interviewed extensively for the Alien Interview book, and he's out there, you know, hunting deer in outside of Stevensville, Texas, and he looks up and he sees this mile-wide craft. I mean, there is no blue beam there. I mean, it's just, it's a craft, and it's emitting some sort of a heat signature, the same type of a heat signature that almost a decade earlier in Phoenix, Arizona, another witness who saw this huge boomerang triangular shape or boomerang shaped craft, and the thing, you know, the air was waving exactly like the same type of thing that Searle saw. And the thing, you know, 45 degree angle and moves away from him, and then moments later the F-16 goes screaming by. So, you know, I don't, let's put it this way, I don't think it's either or, you know, it's not exclusive is what I'm trying to say. It can be either or. They could be using blue beam. It could be in connection or in conjunction with the real deal. It may be a false flag to exactly what you're saying, the scenario. On the other hand, what are we going to do if real disclosure happens and we look out and there's a mile-wide craft sitting over L.A.? I mean, a mile-wide craft is just humongous.
Yes.
It's just humongous. And at that point, it's too late, you know, because unless you know what you're looking at, unless your mind's made up, unless you have a worldview and a paradigm in which you're going to view the phenomena with, you're going to be overwhelmed, just like Searle and everybody else who has an encounter with this stuff. You're overwhelmed. Well,
do we get to the point of this is the boy who cried wolf? Nobody will believe it?
Well, isn't it sort of in some ways, you know, on a monthly basis or a weekly basis, there's a some sort of a sighting or a report, or someone comes out and says this, or an astronaut, or someone who works for the DOD, or whatever it is, or another government official someplace, you know, like the former Minister of Defense in Canada does a speech, and they're here, and they're back, and the whole deal. And then we look at all the stuff on Ancient Aliens, which is 20 hours worth of information promulgating the ancient astronaut. People are being inundated with it. When we look at all the films that have come out and that are coming out, everything is ET, ET. When we look at the TV show, you know, the event. I mean, it's just a perfect example. So people, it's almost like it's propaganda. It's almost... And Dr. Roger Lear has a wonderful sort of anecdotal story. It's like, can you imagine if one lands on the 101 freeway in L.A.? You know, most of the people are going to go, well, you know, what's going on here? Let's hurry up, or I got to get home. I got a game to watch. And here's the most important thing in the history of mankind, some sort of visitation from somewhere. What is it? Interdimensional, extraterrestrial. So I think people are being lulled to sleep. Or have been lulled to sleep for the most part, which is why, again, I digress, the fact that we subject ourselves to TSA pat-downs, which is, in my opinion, nothing more than sexual harassment. But it's like, wake up, folks. The phenomena is real, burgeoning. I guarantee you, if you get the Watchers DV and you watch that thing and you know nothing about the phenomena, when it gets to the cattle mutilations, and then we touch in on this one story, and I know you've had him on your show, Butch Wachowski, with the human mutilation aspect of this thing, it's chilling. It's chilling off the charts. And then we go right into Dr. Roger Lear with the implants. Something's going on here, folks. Something is going on.
Lynn, it's one of the greatest stories, I think, of all time. We'll be back in a moment. We'll talk about the Star of Bethlehem, but only in a way you can talk about. We'll be back.